Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I'm here working for you too.
Hey, Gecko, can you record my voicemail greeting?
No problemo.
You've reached the amazing Rita. She's probably busy right now teaching music theory to neighborhood birds. Or telling a total stranger how they can bundle home and car insurance with Geico to get the discounts they deserve. But rest assured, she'll get back to you once she's done brightening her little corner of the world.
Did that sound all right?
Nailed it. No notes.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
Let's go. Football cards, collecting and investing. His name is Sick Andy. My name is Carter. We're going to be chatting everything from our national experience this past weekend. As you can see, Andy is indeed overcoming an illness from touching all these cards over the weekend. It's actually pretty common after a show. A little bit later, we're going to talk about our personal takeaways from the national and our personal things that we traded and all that stuff. We did a lot of content while we were there. But Andy, it's good to see you powering through this, my man. Good to see you.
Yeah. No, I'm here, man. I am. I'm excited to talk about takeaways from the national and talk about all the training camp hype. I'll tell you what, the Nationals timed great for younger people that are on like summer break from school, but man, we're just getting to the heat of training camp hype with the Hall of Fame game this week. I feel like I've got a lot of catch up to do, and then I did catch a nasty virus on the way home, or maybe on the way there or something, but I came down with it on the way home. I'm hanging in there, Carter. I'm powering through, man.
Yeah, it could hit me here in a few days because you and I were there pretty much the entire weekend when we were there. So obviously it was kind of weird. I met a billionaire, the guy that actually owns Fanatics. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But just briefly, Andy, what was the one takeaway for our viewers that weren't able to go to the National that you would like to share with them just right off the jump here?
It's wild, man. It is wild. There is a ton of people there, and you probably really are better off getting there like Wednesday, like Wednesday, Thursday, just because of how many people there on Friday, Saturday. And it's not really organized that well, Carter.
Oh, hot take.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so they had the autograph section and where you take the pictures with the pros section, yeah, TriStar section. That was well organized, but then you have so many different. I would like to see it. Okay, here's vintage, here's modern, here's the sealed wax, here's the Pokemon. Like, have everything a little bit better organized so you could get to the tables right that you wanted to get to.
I'll share my big takeaway a little bit later, but what I want to talk about is something actionable for people that are watching this and weren't able to go to the show. And this was your major takeaway, Andy, and you kept saying this over and over to me because you saw me, you know, going through this with every dealer. There is a big difference with an eBay card and an in-person card. Explain what you mean by that, Andy.
Yeah, man, that was eye-opening. I think I said that a few times during the trip, is because I there was a bunch of tables that I went up to and I was showing them some of the stuff that I bought or some of the cards that I brought, and they only wanted RPAs of well-known quarterbacks in the league. And that's it. And if it wasn't a rare RPA, it needed to be a Kaboom, a Downtown, a Gold Prism. I mean, the show cards are ultra rare RPAs or these ultra rare case hits, and it's almost primarily quarterbacks. You could definitely throw Justin Jefferson in that category as well, but that was a eye-opening thing.
Yeah, and that's what I went through as well, because you and I aren't those types of collectors. We don't just Tua hunt, Burrow hunt, Herbert hunt. You guys know the guys, right? It's not really our game. You know, the $50,000 RPA patches, I weren't worn by anybody. That's just not really what we do, but that's what people covet. I will also say this, and this is me just taking my LSU glasses off. Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson were really hot. I watched a 16-year-old kid make a $6,000 Justin Jefferson deal right in front of my face. And it was absolutely absurd. Those two really moved the needle. I saw some of the biggest Ja'Marr Chase cards I've ever seen in my life. So those guys have kind of transcended their own position, if you will. But outside of those two, it is mostly quarterbacks. And gold number to 10. Okay, I made the biggest flip of my life with a gold number to 10 card with someone who was good, but not a Hall of Famer. So that's what people want. They love that stuff. They love gold number to 10 and high-end quarterbacks, and obviously one of ones. I think most of you know that. And whether it was a young collector or an older collector, Andy, they only want Prism, Panini, licensed stuff. I am a big Leaf collector. It's very affordable stuff. I've had a lot of people send me Leaf stuff, fans of the channel that know I collected. I give it out, obviously, a good bit of it. People do not want Leaf cards. They just don't. And I love Leaf. And I talked to Leaf this morning, in fact. It's just what I experience, right? Oh, I like this card, but it's Leaf. Or I like this card, but it's not a National Treasures Drew Brees one of one patch. And I did move my Drew Brees one of one card, one of my favorites. It was, you know, just too much money for me to not say no to. But, you know, it's one of those things, Andy. There's a big difference because those cards still go for something on eBay if you 99 cent it or if you buy it now at an affordable price. But dealers, Andy, they only want a certain kind of card. And I think you know what those cards are.
Yeah, those are the card, and that's why you did so well, man. You had some super special cards that are almost impossible to find, and the dealers cannot look away, and they'll pay on a card like that. They'll pay you pretty much close to comps, but if you have anything that's any type of normalcy to it, they're only going to give you 60-70% of comps, right, if buy it from you at all. I think the last major takeaway for me is just the lack of skill position players, like fantasy football players. Yeah, I mean, like half the dealers at the show don't even know who Jerome Ford is, probably. Right. But yeah, there's just not there was not you had to dig really hard to find like decent rookie ticket autos. I actually made some of my best deals at trade night from some of the young guys there that had some decent stuff. And I mean, man, just dug wide and far for wide receiver, running back cards that were decent, and they were hard to find.
Say hi to Brad Nolan in here, one of our longtime friends. We hung out with them for a good bit over the weekend. Brad, what was your biggest takeaway? And even if you didn't go to the show, what was your biggest takeaway from the National? One final thing, and then we'll get into some current news, and then we'll get back in to the National, some of our own personal experiences. Kids love football. That was the most inspirational thing for me. Now, Andy, I honestly don't know how much of this was actually on your stream. What was it? Saturday night. But my biggest deal and trade happened with a kid, right? And normally it was a ninth grader. When I'm making a trade or a deal with a kid, I always make sure everything is squared away, right? Because I see dealers, you know, take advantage of kids not knowing as much. But this kid, Liam, knew a lot, right? He knew a ton about football cards. And we made what ended up being a very fair deal that we both felt we loved. And kids love Panini. They love colored Panini cards. They really do. And that was something that I learned because I traded some of my Leaf stuff in to some Drake London stuff, some Chris Olave stuff, and then move those to get that card. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the truth is, the kids really, really, really do love football cards. Would you agree with that, Andy? Because we just saw kids at trade nights just all over, and most of the stuff they had was football and semi-modern NBA and Jordan.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. Football was definitely, I think, the most prevalent, especially amongst all the young kids at trade night and all the little trade circles going around right outside the entrance of the National. These were serious collectors too. I mean, there was big deals between teenage kids. Like Liam, that's a big ninth grader, man. I didn't even realize that he was only in ninth grade.
Right. No, he was taller than me. Wait, but
he had some serious cards. I ended up making a deal with him. I gave him all the hits from that. We did catch all that on stream, but you're right, Carter. I saw more football between the two trade nights and all the young kids. And they did have some wide receiver and running back cards as well. Some pretty serious collections. And then, you're right. It was a combination of basketball and baseball. Very, very little soccer. And, I mean, a couple kids had some Pokemon cards, but that was it.
Yeah, and shout out to – there he is right there. Really good kid. And I also want to shout out one of our loyal viewers, Oren. Man, Andy, I did not expect this. Now, our show's not huge. It's not. But obviously it's growing. Your channel's growing. I'm a small piece of it. How many people reached out and said, hey, can we meet up with you? It happened a few times. And Oren was one of those guys. Anthony was one of those guys. We got stopped, you know, at the sports card investor booth. We really appreciate each and every one of you that did it, right? We're obviously not card collector to anyone that big, but we really do appreciate that. And if we couldn't, you know, I think one person we weren't able to meet up with. I apologize. We're going to make, you know, more meetups a little bit more prevalent down the road. Let's put Brad Nolan's comment up really quickly, and then we'll get into some current stuff here because this kind of ties in with what we are talking about today. Because Brad goes to the Chicago National. He's been to pretty much every one of them. And he said, my biggest takeaway is that Fields cards were overinflated and people just expected super high prices. In fact, I felt most dealers had everything way too high. I bought one card and that's it. Andy, your takeaway to this?
Yeah, comment. No, for sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously the hobby is doing fantastic with the number of people there. And then also the prices that all the dealers did. I mean, they were very difficult to deal with and offering them lower than comps. And a lot of them, in fact, especially on these quarterbacks and on the rare cards of the quarterbacks, or even just some base cards. Like I remember absolute PSA 10, Justin Herbert's and stuff like that. They just wanted way too much compared to what I could get them for on eBay in an auction. Brad hit the nail on the head here with Justin Fields. I mean, he was a prime candidate.
Yeah, man, but that was crazy. I mean, I expected to see a lot of Justin Fields, but he is right. The prices on those were overrated. We say hi to Rose Ritz. We had to say hi to Jason, Chad holding it down, Eli, all the regulars here. We really, really, really do appreciate that. Now, Andy, before we get back into the National, we'll do what we normally do during this current portion of the video. Obviously, a Hall of Fame game coming up this week should be pretty interesting. A lot of camp injuries have happened. You had some, you know, obviously smaller ones with like a Tim Patrick, if you will. But obviously the big story right now, Andy, is Jonathan Taylor holding out, Josh Jacobs holding out and all of that. So what are your biggest takeaways when it comes to football card prices and the latest camp news and notes?
Yeah, I did look into the prices a little bit earlier. I mean, I'm still seeing, like, the first thing I looked at was the 2023 rookie premier hollows, and those have gone up even more. Rashee Rice is an official breakout, and he probably has the highest prices now. His prices are the same as Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs in that card set. It's pretty wild. what his prices have done. He just keeps making play after play in training camp with Patrick Mahomes. But it, just generally speaking, I mean, volume is up, prices are up. You can see, you know, the flurry of activity right now on eBay for football cards is definitely in an upward trend big time.
Yeah, and this kind of ties in with what Chad is pointing out. This is why eBay is the place to buy cards. There was a big piece of me this weekend that became actually more pro eBay. Andy, I kept saying that to you over and over. It was just a point where I just wanted to go in the hotel room and just 99 cent, just get all the stuff I was lugging around out. But yes, that's why you should do safe searches on eBay if you're really targeting something and you get alerts. And that's how, you know, you can rack up snipes. That's why you got to be a part of the Patreon and Discord. The link is down below. We signed to Filthy, who was with us pretty much all weekend. Filthy ended up being one of my really good friends over the weekend. My Rhode Island brother. Even the little kids were asking for too much or giving too low ball of offers. I saw a little bit of that. And Filthy did say you could find deals on skill position players, though. You know, I don't do a whole lot of the, like, modern skill position flipping that you do, Andy. But I did some of that this weekend, and you could get some really good steals. I did that this weekend with Olave, London, and Jammo. So, yeah, I mean, you could. And also, you know, trade nights were packed, but they were a lot of fun. So there you go. What's up, Steve? Good to see you. Messiah, good to see you. Would you buy Rasheed over Justin Ross? I would, because of the draft capital, and then also Rasheed's just got some product out. I don't even know if Justin Ross even has cards right now, Andy. But, yeah, what's your takeaway from looking at the Keep Em IO app?
Yeah. So just looking at buy it now, week-over-week auction, buy it now volume. What you got to keep in mind, this is week over week data. So, and this is a direct result, I think, of the national, like I mentioned last week, Carter, the amount of auctions ending last Monday and last week were a lot lower than what I've typically seen the previous 3 to 4 weeks. And so this data backs that up. So you could see the week over week, auction volume for Herbert, Burrow, Hurts, Lawrence, Purdy, and Fields. Look how the numbers are just down across the board, anywhere between 30% and 50%, man. And that's, I think, a direct correlation with the national.
Yeah. I had a bunch of auctions end on Sunday night. I'll never do that again the same week of the national, because, you know, everybody is just there and everyone's just watching. It just has all the attention. But I do recommend, Andy, for some of these players, especially, you know, some of your base stuff, Sunday night, 99 cent, because, you know, we're starting to get into that hype cycle, right? And look, I know we're all national this, national that, but this is actionable advice for everyone, Andy. Very general statement I'll make here. Heavily consider selling a lot of your cards now, because once again, it's that hype cycle. It's a training camp cycle, Andy.
Yeah, man, the training camp cycle with the Hall of Fame game this week and preseason. And yeah, man, everybody 0-0 heading into week one. And then everything recalibrates. So really hype is going to be super high now that people are getting back from the national. I'm sure they're going to be getting back to business and they're going to be ramping up their listing of football cards big time. So definitely want to try and beat those guys to the market, but at least, you know, there's so much demand. There's so much demand, Carter, that at least if you have your cards listed now and ready to go, you're setting yourself up for success heading to week one, and just taking profits when you can.
For instance, this was a player that, you should have had listed right now, and that's George Pickens, right? So I just get an alert. And also had a friend text me this video. George Pickens apparently made an Odell type of catch in training camp. Guess what? If people saw that highlight, what are they going to do, Andy? They're going to rush to go get something George Pickens related. And that's where, you know, you can eat with some buy now, because, you know, George Pickens is going to have these highlights. And he went to Georgia. He just had a huge profile written about him in the Ringer. He's got a big personality. He's interesting. And once again, the brand. He's playing for the freaking Steelers that have produced some of the best receivers you'll see. So, you know, one of those things, Andy, I would do because there are going to be some more of these training camp kinds of players that make those types of catches.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Those are plays like even Justin Ross. He does have cards out, and it looks like he's going to make the 53-man roster. He's probably still incredibly cheap. You know, it's a play for the preseason, really. Is he gonna make an impact during the season with guys like Rice and Sky Moore ahead of him on the depth chart? You know, so I don't know. It's hard to say, but there's a lot of obscure players that are gonna make plays. I remember last year, Carter, during the Hall of Fame game, it was the third string running back on the Raiders that had a big spike in his rookie card values from that Hall of Fame game, because Josh Jacobs literally got one carry intentionally, and then it was Zamir White, but there was another other guy who's not even like – he's not even a spring chicken. He'd been around for a little bit. Huh? I can't remember his name. Do you guys remember his name? The guys probably remember his name. But yeah, he broke out because he was getting a lot of opportunity. He made a couple nice like touchdown runs, and all of a sudden you go over to eBay and here's the impulse buyers flocking in, making these crazy buy it now purchases. Well, not crazy, but just paying what probably are his peak prices. Like if you had a PC of Zamir White and you really didn't want to get rid of it. Yes, Amir Abdullah, that was his name. If you had a PC of Amir Abdullah, he's a man filthy. And you didn't want to get rid of it, you're going to set your buy it now is probably at least 20 to 30% higher than right. What everybody else has got them. Like, hey, I've got a price, but you're really going to have to pay to pry it out of my hands. And that's what the impulse buyers will buy it at on a night like that, because of the supply will deplete so quick.
Yeah, I just looked. Some of the Justin Ross college uni stuff is in like the 40s. I just looked at the and that was an eBay auction. So yeah, he's definitely one of those training camp guys. And remember, he was a big time college player. He beat Alabama with a ridiculous game in the national championship in 2018. So he's got a name. Something else to keep in mind, Andy, about the Justin Rosses of the world. Always, it's going to sound crazy. This was going to be my tip of the week, but actually with a different player. But Justin Ross spells his name differently. It is J-U-S-T-Y-N. Now, let me ask you this, Andy. Have you ever met a Justin who spells it with a Y instead of an I?
No, I can't say that I have. So, but he's, you know, half my age, so I'm just like a new age kind of thing.
Right. So there's not many people, young or old, that have the name Justin Ross with a Y. So there's going to be some people that, you know, list it Justin Ross with an I. More often than not, people do spell it correctly, but just keep that in mind. I would, if you really wanted to get some of his stuff or just anybody's stuff, I would put the correct and incorrect spelling in the search bar. And if you're listing a Justin Ross card, I would put the incorrect spelling of Justin Ross in the description, not the title. I'd put the actual, his correct name, but put it in the description. And that way, if the eBay algorithm is looking your way for Justin Ross with an I, it'll pick yours up. I don't know how much that changes things, but I normally do that when people have a weird spelled name. Ryan, good to see you. Ryan's bringing a lot of energy in the chat. Drake London also had a sweet catch yesterday. I don't know, Andy, if you also saw Kyle Pitts getting wide open and just getting absolutely missed by Desmond Ridder. So your thoughts on a few other training camp players. I'm just opening the floor to you, man.
Yeah, cool. So I was looking, I think one of the big standouts is Dalton Kincaid for the Buffalo Bills. Okay. He's dominating. He looks like he's going to have quite a big receiving role. He's been really good against man coverage in camp. He's looked impressive, and apparently he doesn't drop any balls. Yeah, Desmond Ridder, I have not seen too many like great-looking plays from him. Sam Howell, though, threw an incredible throw to Terry McLaurin, made a diving catch. You know, those things are going to continue to come out. Terry McLaurin's that good. DJ Moore and Justin Fields are having some good news about them. Aaron Rodgers is dominating camp in New York. They get a ton of media coverage. Hasn't been a whole lot of coverage on San Francisco or Seattle that I can really think of, Carter.
I will say this, okay? I was this close to getting Sam Howell in a deal. Andy watched it unfold. I would have loved to have gotten at least some card exposure to him because I do think he's a very solid prospect. Terry McLaurin just did an interview with the Pivot, and he was talking about how much he likes Sam Howell. So I think Andy and I are very interested in what he could potentially do for the Commanders this season. So obviously with the training camp stuff, you know, with these newer guys, especially the ones that haven't played a whole lot, list them because all it takes is one big performance. And I know it's tough to list cards before the season actually begins, but this hype cycle, it's about to get very, very scorching hot, hotter than it was in the actual national, because it was very hot and there were a lot of people that did not put deodorant on. And I am, you know, I felt the pain dealing with some of that. Now, next thing, Andy, I want to get into is product releases. Has there been anything as far as product you've seen broken lately or any new product out that is something that would interest you, especially after you bricked out on a 2022 Optic Hobby Box?
Man, we bricked out on so much stuff that we ripped over the weekend. We didn't pull anything except for that mythical Jahan Dotson laser, but it had print lines all over it. So I was happy to trade that away to Liam as well. Yeah. You know, if for me right now, Carter, it's still all about the 2023 rookie premier holos. And there's not many, like they only printed those for the players that were at that event, which is only a handful of players. So you do have to just stay tuned for, obviously you have Chronicles draft picks, which is really popular right now. The Bowman first auto stuff is still doing pretty well. But then you also have like the collegiate, the draft pick products coming up. So 2023 Immaculate Collegiate coming out August 16th, and probably these dates are subject to change, but as of right now, 2023 Luminance, which did the little gold year one last year, they've got some pretty nice autos in that set with different color inks that I think people like. I think that year one little emblem on there is pretty cool. They also put the RC Shield, and then at the very end of August 30th, so basically right before the season starts, like a week before that, is Donruss Elite. And I think that set's going to be very popular because you get pro logos on there, even if it's college uniform. And then you also get Pen Pals and Turn of the Century. And there's probably going to be a couple other inserts this year that all are going to have pro uniform and autograph stuff. So it should be for the entire draft class.
Remember what I said? I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. The rookie quarterback, when it comes to Premier and all this stuff, I think Stetson Bennett can play. I really do think so. I know he's older. I know he's on the shorter end, but he has made some plays in the Rams camp that has interested quite a few people and has raised a few eyebrows there. But, Andy, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think Matthew Stafford will come back and play fine. I do. But he is also very injury prone. I'm just going to reiterate this name right here. Okay, because we might not go too long because obviously you're very sick and we had to start a little bit later. So you have to move all your stuff in the quarantine and all that. This will be my play of the week. So I'm going to go ahead and give it now because we love our viewers. All right. Clayton Toon with Arizona. I love me some Clayton Toon. I know I mentioned him 2 weeks ago. The guy can play. Now, is he going to be good? As in like a top 10 NFL starter? No, I don't think that is going to be the case. But get him while you can now. Because we live in a world, Andy, where it is not impossible to think that Clayton Toon starts week one. Okay? Who in their right mind is gung-ho about running out Colt McCoy? Okay, I don't know if you would be, Andy, if you were the new coach of the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not.
No, and apparently, man, the players are eating what Jonathan Gannon is serving. There, he's apparently it's like a culture shock for Arizona Cardinals players. Now, is that going to translate into better performance? I don't know, but yeah, I know that. I'm guessing Colt McCoy is probably their starter, but I'm with you. I think they're all – there's potential for all of them, you know. I even like to – thinking about Clayton Toon reminds me of Davis Mills, and he even was shown making some nice passes earlier today in camp. I heard C.J. Stroud threw two interceptions yesterday. I still think that he'll end up starting, but – that it's just right now you're going to see Davis Mills in preseason. You're going to see, you know, more of him, and it's more like, you know, fighting to keep his roster spot and this and that kind of stuff. So I think it leads to opportunity to sell him if you've got him, or potentially quick flip if you can buy super low compared to the rest of the draft class.
Yeah, I just truly, truly believe Toon can give you a spike week or two where everybody's like, oh, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Carson Palmer in the way that he plays. And you'll think that when if he actually gets a chance to play with Arizona. Way watered down version of Carson Palmer, who I think is very underrated. But still, big shout out to Jason. He's always holding it down for us in Facebook. We say hi to Joshua. Let's go to James right here. A little delayed, but thoughts on the 2023 Bowman University Chrome National promo cards with National printed on the front of the Bowman U cards adds value. We actually had a viewer purchase a pretty big one through me, actually, a Michael Penix, but he's not in here, so we'll talk about that at a later date. Andy, I love Bowman U, as you know. Talked a little bit about Bowman U with some of the people at Fanatics, which owns Topps, and how much, you know, we've enjoyed that product. But yeah, man, I like anything College Uni. I just do, especially with the licenses. So your thoughts, Andy, on the Bowman U Chrome with the let's just make this even more general. Your thoughts on national exclusive cards.
Yeah, I think that they're more popular right around the national. I kind of wonder about their long-term efficacy if they've got that national promo on them. It seems like they would do better around the national.
I agree.
But I'm not sure. You know, like how rare are they? Like if they put the national promo on there with a serial number, that would be really cool.
Yeah, so that's the card that one of our viewers purchased. It was a true one-of-one gold vinyls, hard-printed on there, one-of-one. I like stuff like that. I do. I it doesn't bother me so much if a card has national this or NFL honors that. Now, I'll tell you this, so James, it does some collectors, because they'll look at it as like just a watered down version of that card. So just to let you know. Now, let's go to Eli. Eli, just for future notice, we'll get to the question. You don't have to ask a few times in the chat. It does kind of clog up the chat, but I will answer it right here. My thoughts on Tua and Jamo, Jameson Williams. Andy, I'll actually let you go first here on Tua and Jamo, because you actually made a play on some Tua this weekend.
Yeah, I did make a play on Tua. I mean, hey, he's incredibly undervalued for the upside that he presents. I mean, when he was healthy last year, he was firmly a QB1. Like, he was a very desirable asset. So it's all about that. Like, you know, that's the play on him. You know, he's got to stay healthy, and I think he'll do great. I think you can kind of see that already through training camp as he's making play after play with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. And now they add Devin Achane, and the Mike McDaniel system is incredible. So you definitely want pieces of that offense. Jameson Williams, I mean, he's almost seems like he would be a good play like week one, week two of the season. Is he even allowed to practice with the team right now? No, yeah, right?
He can now. But when
he can starts, now.
Yeah, he can preseason. But when the season starts, I don't think he can practice. And I don't think they would want him to practice, obviously, you know, with actual games that week.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I think that would be the best time to maybe snipe him when all the focus is on everybody else breaking out week one or week two. Obviously, he's an incredibly talented player. If he could just overcome a little knucklehead factor he's got going on, you know, then I think he'll do great down the stretch. Maybe the Lions are a playoff team this year, and you got him now at the end of the season, the playoffs. Man, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know, he had a little skirmish at practice, I believe, recently. But, yeah, he is extremely talented. And I was, once again, I made a play on him this weekend. So, very bullish on him. Got one of his rare PSA 10 cards. So, we'll see. But, obviously, if, you know, there's always something with him, it does make you wonder just a little bit. Now, you know, as far as this next portion, so we've touched on pretty much all the modern guys. I want to ask you, Andy, about the non-current players and your thoughts on Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning product at the National, Randy Moss. We saw our buddy Roy Weber. Buy a $30,000 Barry Sanders card. He made that purchase, and we honestly ran right into him pretty much right after that. So, you know, your thoughts on how people feel about that era of cards?
Oh, they love that era. They love that era. I mean, any great player. I ran into a kid at one of the value bins. This kid couldn't have been older than ninth grade, and he was talking about a Randy Moss that he picked up earlier that day. So, and then a lot of the dealers, of course, I mean, if it's ultra rare of any of those players, they love it. They want it. It's very desirable. Still, I think it will always continue to be. And I think like the beginning of the season, again, is a great time to snipe those Hall of Famers because of all the focus on the active guys breaking out.
If you get something really rare of just even a very good player, and it has to be something very rare and very desirable, somebody is going to eventually want it. It's just that simple, right? So gold number to 10, prism or tops of any middle of the road player, you are sitting on something if you can get that at a good price. Anything under 50 would be obviously a major steal if you could do such a thing. Andy, I was honestly kind of impressed that there were people out there that were collecting mostly that stuff. You saw it. I had a back and forth. It was pretty intense with a really diehard Brett Favre collector, and he had a patch that I really wanted. And we couldn't come to a conclusion, right? He really wanted to keep the card. I totally get it. It was a serial number 4 match, and it was a triple patch of Brett Favre, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning. And you saw them. They were beautiful, beautiful patches. There were a lot of people that collect that stuff. But understand this, when you are dealing with those people and it's clear that they have a collection of those items, they do not want to let those items go because they're a collector. They're diehard. They're fans because those guys aren't playing anymore. So if you do collect that era, Andy, it feels like more people would be willing to deal, you know, Burrow and Herbert and someone like Jameson Williams, because there is so much stuff of those guys out there. But of that era, as you saw, Andy, with some of my, you know, interactions, there are some people that were just not budging at all.
Plus, yeah, they were all show cards.
Right.
So, you know, it's they understand really well the potential ramifications of selling that card. They may never see it again.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like they just I ran into a lot of people like that. I was just curious. So I'd ask them what they wanted for certain things. And there were a couple people that was like clearly. And then I remember it was like a purple scope Dak Prescott PSA 10. I asked him how much he wanted. It was like pretty crazy. It was really high price. I said, oh, are you a Cowboys fan? Yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan. So it's like they had their collections on display. And if you wanted to pay arm and a leg, if you wanted to pay the price, you could pry it out of their hands. There were some deals. We did find some tables that had deals, but that was not the norm.
Yeah, so we'll get into a few more personal things. Obviously, we wanted to make everybody feel like they were a part of it with all the content Andy did. I wish I would have shot more videos and photos while I was there. But one thing I did was I brought too much stuff. I really did. The first day it was brutal because I was trying to move some stuff to get some cash to get into something bigger. Plus, obviously, I had a bunch of rare stuff that I felt it would have been better to sell in person. That first day, I just blanked. I had no sales. I made a trade at the very last part of, you know, trade night that first day, and that was it. I bought like some card stands, but then the second day I didn't bring as much stuff, so I was in a better mood because I wasn't lugging as much stuff around, and I was very successful. I moved a lot of the stuff. Andy, you didn't witness it, but you were basically on the phone with me. I was on the phone with Derek. A card I bought for $10, sold it for $400. I don't think I'll ever have anything like that ever again. And it was my favorite card in my collection, my Marcus Colston Gold number to 10 Prism, first year 2012. I did not want to let it go. But, you know, when you get that opportunity and there's cash in your face for this card, the guy really wanted it. And he actually ended up buying quite a bit of my stuff. He bought my Drew Brees 1/1. And guess what? A lot of people said no. And I just always remembered something I said. It's harder to sell than it is to buy. And as much I didn't want, those guys were two of my favorite players of all time. I've talked about them a lot on this channel. You know, I have bills to pay, right? I'm upgrading DJ equipment. I'm still paying for, you know, wedding stuff. And I sold some other stuff on top of that, paying partially for, you know, the trip and getting to meet you and all that stuff. It was a very interesting experience, but for me, Andy, my biggest difference was, not bringing as much stuff that I knew wasn't going to be as liquid. I learned my lessons, what people wanted, what actually are eBay cards, and eBay cards are stuff like Leaf, where there are some fans of it out there, but a majority of people in person don't want it. And then the next thing I learned, and I want to shout out Paul Hickey, sports card investor, is you're always better off more often than not of knowing somebody with a booth or just having a booth, because you could put, you know, your stuff. Oh, there he is. Look at him. Paul Hickey was definitely out of everybody I met this weekend at the National. Paul Hickey, God, elite, not only from a sports card mind, but just how nice he was to me. him allowing us to put our backpack and stuff like that down in there for just a little bit and chatting about content, all that stuff. That was top five experiences meeting Paul, one of the best content creators out there. But yeah, you know, as far as moving stuff, Andy, how did things go for you and your experience just moving around?
Not great. I didn't sell anything. I bought some stuff. I guess I didn't bring any show cards, man. I think I was telling Filthy, or maybe you too, that if I would have brought my Rob Gronkowski downtown, I probably would have sold that really quickly. But otherwise, like, I didn't really bring anything rare enough from a quarterback elite enough kind of type of situation to where it, you know, someone really wanted to buy something. I bought some decent cards, but I didn't move anything. So I really didn't need to bring any cards. Like, I, you know, I should have just not even needed to do that.
Yeah. We see Lightstick. God, I love Lightstick as well. Man, I will say this, and I said this, Andy, please correct me if I'm wrong on this, but did I not tell you, after all of it was said and done, I truly do believe Lightstick loves football cards more than anybody I've ever met. I'm serious. Did I not tell you this?
Yeah, man. And you did tell me this. And he's natural, man. He's got an eye for this stuff. Like, you would never see him.
Dude, his football card knowledge is just so freaking vast. Like, I didn't know that. Like, I mean, I've talked to him a few times in the Discord. Not only being a cool guy, but man, I really appreciate my experiences with you as well, man. But yeah, you know, that's part of it. Like, you know, for me, the reason why I had success selling stuff was it was only because, Andy, I was willing to let go of my super rare stuff that I know there would be a collector out there that would really, really want it, right? And, you know, obviously a $10 card, when I sell a $10 card for $400, that's absolutely crazy in my mind. But the Drew Brees card I sold for double what I paid for it as well. That's why, you know, rarity, it is so important. It is, especially at that show, because Andy, what did we say after the first day? We were overwhelmed. We were hot. We were tired. We kind of hated cards for a little bit because when you see that many cards, it makes you go, God, there's just so much stuff out there.
Yeah, it was so overstimulating and overwhelming. The first day, you really didn't know how to process it all. You just had, like, you just close your eyes and you had a million different cards floating in your head, you know? So at that point, yeah, we had to kind of defog our brains. And we were way, way more focused, I felt, on the second day that we went because of that.
Yeah. First day was brutal for all of us. Right. But second day was way better. And I think a lot of it was because kind of had an idea of where everything was. Also, you have to understand that there's 1,000 different things going at once, right? If I go again, I'm going to be a lot more focused on not selling cards or really not looking at cards, but more so making more connections, right? Obviously, the biggest thing for me, I did get to have a pretty nice conversation with Michael Rubin for about 5 minutes. I've known him. I've been to Fanatics events. I've known of him, for a while. And I really enjoyed my conversation. I know we all have different opinions about what Fanatics may or may not do to the hobby. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I spoke to a few Fanatics reps while I was there, and that was cool. It was cool to even be in that guy's orbit. I wish I had even a fraction or a half of a fraction, a quarter of a fraction of money of what that guy had. But it wasn't just like a big wig like him. It was Adam Palmer, Heroes for Sale, all these other people. So, Andy, those connections, getting to meet you for the first time, all those things are very, very, very important.
Yeah, man. No, it is. It was great getting to meet you and Lightstick and Filthy and Paul. And a bunch of other people too. I'm not even mentioning it. That was awesome, man. That was really cool getting to network with everybody in person. And yeah, there was a ton of that. I think that's almost seems like next to making a couple deals. I mean, that's the most important thing about the National.
Right. Now, are we going to go back next year? You might go, Andy.
I don't know. I might go for a day, maybe just to do some networking. But I think I might not go back until I actually set up a booth. I told you this, Carter. There's no fantasy football booth. I think it would be awesome to set up a fantasy football booth at the National, where we've got like best ball draft streaming on a big TV. We've got a whole display of football cards. And we could do some really fun stuff with that. So that's the overall goal. But no, going to this really inspired me to want to go to more local shows and more low-key shows, where they're a lot more laid back, a little bit more intimate environment, where you can network easier with the dealers, and also maybe find some better deals. Maybe you find some people that need to liquidate a little bit more and are willing to accept some better offers.
So Joshua asked about the value bins. I did not look at a single one of them. I'm serious. Like, I would like if I was waiting to talk to somebody, I would go through and scrape. But I do think dollar bins at the National, you could find some absolute steals. But if I had an extra day, I would just spend that extra day digging through dollar bins at the National. Because the thing is, when you know all – we haven't even talked about the autograph signings and all that stuff. If you know that this could be your only time in your life that you can meet Emmitt Smith or meet Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and you really love those guys – you would much rather pay the money to spend the time in the long line it took to actually meet those guys than going through a dollar bin. I would say, Andy, dollar bin searching at the National, do it. Like, you're going to find some good deals. You know, there's going to be a lot of people just putting all their stuff out there. But I do think doing it at a not so big show would probably be something that I would be more interested in.
Yeah, man, because I went up to so many value bins when I did find football, and if there weren't people in front of it, there were people next to them, and I would say, hey, did you guys look through this already? Yeah, you know, it's like, and then there were some spots where guys, you know, I'd say, if you want to do that, pack one of those little chairs that fold up that you put on your shoulder. There were guys that had those that posted up, were like older guys. I mean, these guys were grinding. And so I talked to him. I did a little interview with them. I got on video. It'll be coming out later this week. And they've been there. They told me all about how long they've been there. They showed me what they found and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you guys are grinders. I mean, it's just like it's tough. And then you got to find those boxes that haven't been picked through, or at least haven't been picked through by someone that's like-minded like yourself, that, you know, that would pick the cards out that you'd want.
There you go. Now, hobby tip of the week. I've already shared mine a little bit earlier. When you're doing an eBay listing, or if you are looking for cards, put common misspellings of the name in the search. But yeah, there's so many different tips that we've given about Nationals, local card shows, bring cash. Dealers love dealing with cash. But Andy, I'll throw it to you, your hobby tip of the week.
Yeah, actually, COMC.com now has an app, an iPhone and Android app that you can get on your phone. So that's a big time game changer for them. They've been working on that for years. So definitely check that out, guys. And I know a lot of you are already on there. Because they do such a good job with the scans, and now they have the elite processing of their cards. They also have that software integration with eBay. So it's just another alternate way to flip cards that you definitely should take advantage of. And check out their app. I know we all love a good app.
Yeah. Before we get into play of the week, I've also already given mine out clean and tuned, but I just everyone that we met, you know, Paul Hickey's obviously a pretty big content creator. Man, I love Mojo. I talk to him at every show I go to. I always bump into him. But Mojo and Ben Carlos, those guys are really cool. You and I got to talk to Ben Carlos for a long time. He's awesome. Best video editor I've ever seen in sports cards and stuff like that. But Mojo, that dude is just as real as it gets. Something else that's really cool about the National is there's international people that fly in. So you never know if you're going to meet somebody that could, you know, change your life. Joshua, thank you so much for the super chat, man. One of my biggest supporters on PHL. Get well, Andy, and thanks, Carter, as always. No, we thank you, Joshua. Joshua, if you have any questions, we'll go straight to it. I actually met an English guy who's an autograph broker for Andy, my favorite players on Liverpool. He is their autograph rep. And I didn't know this. He was walking around with Mojo, and Mojo introduced me to him, and I was just talking to him. And that's like, I don't know a whole lot about, you know, how European autographs and all that stuff, but if I needed something, you know, signed, that would be somebody that I would, you know, reach out to. And he knows like Trent Alexander-Arnold and all these guys that play for my club. But yeah, you know, you're not going to meet that type of person at just a local show, but they're going to fly across the pond for a big show like that, because obviously, you know, they can get deals done and meet people that they need to meet.
Yeah, that's super powerful. Whenever you can meet people like that at one event.
So, yeah, Andy, it is time for your play of the week, if you have one. I know you're under the weather.
Yeah, man. Really hadn't thought about a play of the week, but I noticed that, yeah, Jonathan Taylor's an interesting one. Obviously, there's some controversy going on between him and the management, I guess, with Jim Irsay.
Or, right.
He's their owner, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So no, if this is causing a significant dip in his market, I haven't done enough research, but he would definitely be a play for me. I'm basically looking at guys that have no to little news or maybe some bad news, and see if that opens up, like, is there auctions ending later this week that started at 99 cent that are currently going to go way undervalued because of his current situation, kind of thing. And knowing that he's going to play all along, it's just, you know, they've got to work out their issues.
If there was only somebody named Jonathan Taylor Card to watch this channel, feel so bad for my guy, Shant. That is my homie. But shout out to him. Andy, I could tell you're wearing down, my man. You're tired. You obviously can't handle the National, obviously.
Yeah, I can't handle the National. But see, maybe I'll build up an immunity to this thing, and next time I'll be good to go. Isn't there like a Dallas card show that'll be before the National? So
I don't know, because I just know for certain that I'm going to get hit by whatever you have like in the next couple of days, and I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, I hope not, man. But yeah, I think the Tylenol is starting to wear off.
Yeah, I hear you, man. We'll run through two more of these. Good to see you, Ziggy. I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you in person at the thing. Yeah, late sick. We did have a fun time, to say the least, the very first night we were there. But let's go to Joshua's Super Chat question here before we get out of here. How can you move base cards that are in mint condition?
Well, you could get them graded and prove they're in mint condition. Get them a PSA 10. That'll make them a lot easier to move. PSA 10 grades and slabs are very desirable, very liquid. Even, you know, people will buy very obscure base cards and PSA 10 slabs, but you know, it's a grind, man, on those kind of cards. I mean, if you got a bunch of them, I mean, Carter, I still think it's not a bad idea to do like a bulk sale. Maybe you could put together an entire base card set of like all the players on a team, or maybe an entire base set for a whole set, and list that like on eBay, or maybe just do a listing on like Facebook Marketplace or something like that. See if somebody wants to buy a base collection with the allure of maybe something in there that they want to go through.
Yeah, I'd go to Late Stick. Your thoughts on that really quickly, Late Stick, because he actually does submit a lot of cards, a lot. That's what I tell you. The guy loves football cards as much as anybody. It just depends, obviously, what you're willing to pay in a bulk sub to PSA. Obviously, it's going to be anywhere from 15 to 19 a card if you're doing a bulk. That is, it could be more, obviously. And you would need those things to pop tens for really basic stuff, because if not, people aren't really going to want them. Andy, I was going to save this for, you know, the very end here. You did say this to me one time during the National, that there were a few instances of you saying, hey, I just want to consolidate a lot of what I have to just get something bigger. Do you still feel that way now that it's been a few days?
Yeah, I do. I've got to resist the urge. I do want to consolidate a lot of what I have into bigger cards, and I think I want to start resisting the urge to get a little bit of exposure on a player to buy one of them, and buying one of their base cards, versus if I'm going to get exposure to a player, then I want to like save up or like build up and get like a serious card exposure to a player, get a show card of that player.
Yeah. And honestly, I just think you need to be fluid, right, with your collection, and really ask yourself, are there really any cards I will just not move for anything? Because the truth is, unless you have a Steph Curry logo, man, or whatever the heck Alt had there, there's always going to be something bigger. There's always going to be something else that, you know, twinkles your eye, if you will. And ask yourself, can I consolidate some of the stuff to move in to some of that stuff? Because if you do, there's nothing better than, you know, making good moves to get you into a better card. So for instance, I had a Joe Burrow RPA from Leaf that I traded for three skill position guys, Drake London, Jameson Williams, and Chris Olave. Really nice versions of the card. The guy got a nice Joe Burrow, you know, patch RPA. And based on values, he probably had a little bit of a better end of the deal, Andy, than I did, right? But it got me moving. It got some of the cards that I've had in my collection for quite some time moving. And I then had some stuff that I really didn't have a whole lot of, which is like PSA 10s of, you know, guys that are currently playing. And then obviously we shared, you know, that thing earlier with Liam, and I was able to pick up a better Leaf card of Joe Burrow. This right here, this Joe Burrow exotic card. I love the design on it. The auto on it's pretty decent. And then it was serial number 9 out of 9. You obviously can't see that. And this Leaf card was way better than the card that I had. And I was able to still keep one of the cards that I traded, just because, you know, things just started, you know, getting moving. So for me, Andy, one thing was just never being attached to not one of your top cards. And then even then telling myself, hey, if I move this for profit now, I could consolidate, make more money, and I can get a nicer patch, one that may have a grass stain or an autograph on it.
There you go. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. Things got to be fluid. Like you can't turn down more base cards, especially in PSA 10 condition for the right price. Silver Prism, Optic Hollows, all those kind of cards are still very liquid, very fluid, and for the right price, they're good plays. But for guys that you have a high level of confidence in, it you definitely want to consolidate and get a serious card exposure to them.
Ziggy says you patiently move them over the year. I have a bunch of PSA 9 into Impala base. Only need $25 per card to profit, and even at a loss, say, oh, so you only need but that would be because it would be what, like 15 to 19 to even grade it. So yeah, I guess yeah, okay, I can see it, but I do agree with you, Ziggy. One thing I learned is just move more of your stuff. You never know. Like you can, even if you're moving into, like, I'm not a Jameson Williams fan. He went to Alabama, and Joe Burrow's my favorite athlete of all time. You never know when something else is going to pop up. And I was obviously dealing with the younger collector, and you know, these kinds of shiny, newer, current players are things that that interest a lot of sellers and buyers. So it worked out in the end. So there you go. Andy, anything else you want to share before we skedaddle?
Get them cards listed, guys. Get busy listing, man. Do buy it nows. I'll do buy it nows. Unless you have like some of those 2023 rookie premier hollows, you want to flip them. I think auctions are fantastic for those. Those are a prime example of how auctions are advantageous.
I've been radicalized into 99 cent and a lot of my stuff just to get it moved during this hype cycle. And I'm going to be doing, just to be honest, I'm going to be doing a lot of it just so I can have more money to move into some of these Brady patches that I want. I don't have any Brady stuff. I want to get into a bigger Drew Brees patch first. But yeah, man, always be selling. Okay, CH, we really appreciate you, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Now, join the Patreon. Link is down below. And Andy, obviously, under the weather, just keep up to date. Andy, I don't know what your live schedule is going to look like this week, but I hope you feel better, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, man. Yesterday was terrible. I couldn't do anything. So I'm just starting to get back going today. But I'm stuck in the room. I got a quarantine in here for, I think, at least 5 days or until I test negative. So, and maybe two negative results and whatever. So anyways, I got all my stuff in here. I am working on content. And hopefully as I feel better throughout the week and I'm holed up in here, you guys are just going to have to get used to my bed frame as my background for the rest of the week.
This might be your permanent setup.
The audio sounds
absolutely freaking amazing. Like, your voice sounds better than James Earl Jones right now. It sounds golden. But yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Okay, peace.
Peace. Ba-da-ba. Peace.